Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Anybody here for the first time? Well, bless God, the rest of you at least came back. Amen. All right. Who of you knows what season we are in right now, spiritually speaking? We are in Pentecost. Why is that important? It is important because there are two very significant things that has to happen in your life if you become a child of God. The first significant thing that has to happen in your life is you have to become born again. To be born again is a concept that is sometimes difficult to understand, but the easiest way for me to explain it to you would be to say to you that when we come into this world, we are born into the world and we fall under the governmentship or governing of the God of this world, who is not God. That's why sometimes these things can be a little bit confusing. You know, if you ask most people, who is the God of this world? They will say to you without hesitation, well, it must be God. No, you're wrong. It's not God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, if the gospel is hidden, it is hidden in those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds that they cannot see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Analyzing that scripture quickly shows us that there is something out there that is called the God of this world that veils people, blinds people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why would this person, referred to as the God of this world, want to block people from understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because quite simply, he doesn't want people to be saved. Amen? Now, the first significant thing that needs to happen in your life if you want to be with God one day is obviously you have to become born again. The reason we have to become born again is this. Where you are born determines your rights and privileges. Okay? Some of us here were born in South Africa. That gives you South African citizenship. I know that it doesn't amount to a hell of a lot today, but at least you can stay. All right? If you were born in America, probably you would have a bit better perks. If you were born in England or Portugal or any other country, you would have different perks. But with your place of birth comes certain rights, comes certain privileges. Now, let's think about the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Well, if we look at it this way, it is somebody that opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, who opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ? I know you've already answered it, but it's important that people understand. Only Satan opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whether it be Islam, whether it be Buddha, whether it be Krishna or whatever, it's still the same chocho behind everything. We call it Satan. Okay? He opposes the work of the kingdom of God. If we are born into a dispensation where we fall under him, well, what is his nature? What is his character? He's called a thief. He's called a liar. He's called the destroyer. Just those three words should show you that you do not want to hang around under his governorship for a very long time, because you are going to suffer, which is why the world tends to suffer, which is why there's so much problems, there's so much issues, etc., etc. While you fall under the governorship of Satan, he will make sure that as many problems as possible come into your life. I'm not saying that you will have no problems when you serve God. You are still going to have problems. But when you serve God, you've got somebody to turn to help you through your problems. When you serve Satan, you got nobody to turn to, because the one you serve is the destroyer. So, the reason we have to be born again is because where we are born determines who we are. I am a South African. Why can I say that? I can say that because I was born into a country called South Africa, and my birthright gives me citizenship. All right? When you were born into the world, you are a worldly person. You serve the God of this world. No, I'm not saying that you are a Satanist, because I understand that you are not. But you're also not a Christian. You're also not a child of God, because you were not born into His kingdom. And that's why we have to be born again. When we become born again into the kingdom of God, immediately we have citizenship. And that citizenship comes with rights and privileges, which is a gazillion times better than what Satan had to offer you. This is what Satan has to offer you. Problems, suffering, sickness, infirmity, death, decay, destruction. The list goes on and on and on. And while you are in His kingdom, who are you going to turn to help you to sort out that problem? It's like going to Home Affairs trying to get some certificate or something. It's like they're going to look at you with this blank stare, like, what? Actually, that's not what they do. It's like, how much? You know? Hello? Nobody's going to help you. Where's Spugna? Am I right? Yeah. This is just the way it is. Nobody's going to help you. But when you serve God, you got somebody that can help you, somebody with clout. You know, when you go up against somebody that is going to resist, the only way to get something from them is if you can overpower them. You cannot overpower Satan with Satan, because the Bible says Satan's kingdom is not divided against itself, because therefore, if he was divided against himself, Jesus said his kingdom would not stand. I don't know about you, but if you look at the way the world is going, the kingdom of Satan is doing extremely well right now. It seems to be, well, it definitely isn't divided. Crime works with crime. Evil works with evil. Amen? You know, the thieves might not be working together, but they're definitely working together to steal from all of us. So in the end, the kingdom of darkness does not oppose each other. They work together. How do we get to a point that we can actually start dealing with these problems? Well, you see, here's the thing. You can become part of a different dispensation. You can become part of a different place, a magical place. And when I say magical, I'm not talking about like weird black magic and stuff like that. I'm just simply trying to refer to the fact that it is supernatural. That the principles that govern this place are radically different from what we are used to in this world. I was sharing with some of the people yesterday that came to my house. You know, the scripture says, and if I remember correctly, that God will provide all of our needs according to His riches and His glory. In the kingdom of God, you can have $50 in your pocket, but you can actually be filthy, stinking rich. Because when the hand of God moves supernaturally, suddenly doors will open for you and things will come to you that you do not necessarily deserve. Amen? So the fact of the matter is, even though I might have a bit of lack, yeah, because I am part of the kingdom of God, it's not that difficult for God to touch somebody's heart and open a door for me, or touch somebody's heart and bless me, or just supernaturally put me in a position that I never worked for and that I, according to the world, might not deserve, but God says I do, so guess what? I have it. In the world, you get certain diseases, certain sicknesses. It's like a death sentence, they tell you, and you know all about that. That's why, you know, God is good. They tell you this and this and this is it. They gave you 3 months to live, if I remember correctly. That was how many months ago? It's 1 year ago. Yes. It's already 1 year. And can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? Because you are no longer a citizen of this world and you no longer serve the God of this world. And where the God of this world wanted to take your life, the God of heaven said, I'm giving you life. And you see, that's just the way it is. Yes, you're right. That's just the way it is. Why do we want to become born again? We want to become born again because we serve a much better master. You know, when you serve Satan, you serve the one that demands your blood. When you serve Jesus, you serve the one that gave His blood. There's a big difference between the two. Satan demands sacrifice. Do this, do that, do that. Jesus says, I did it all for you. I don't know about you, but it makes a lot of sense when you look at it from that point of view. I'd rather serve the one that gave his life for me than serve the one that demands my life all the time. You know, Satan has no problem sending you out drunk into the streets. He's hoping that you're going to get killed. He's got no problem letting you sit with a gun and play Russian roulette. He wants you to be killed. Jesus comes into your life and says, it's time for you to get rid of the spirit of suicide. I'm going to help you today. Boom, something happens. The thing comes out. You feel better. Satan opposes you with depression. Everything is dark. Everything is dingy. Nothing is exciting. You just feel like giving up on life. Jesus comes into your life. What does he do? He gives you life. He changes your perspective. He sucks the rubbish out of your life. Why do we need to become born again? Well, probably the number one reason is we want to be with God one day. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Bad news if you serve Buddha. It's not through Buddha. Bad news if you serve Krishna. It's not through Krishna. Bad news if you serve Allah. It's not through Allah. The way to God is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. When we accept Jesus, the Bible says we become born again. Suddenly, even though I still live in Johannesburg, spiritually speaking, my citizenship is no longer attached to hell. It is now attached to heaven. And you might not see the difference immediately, but the difference will become apparent as you begin to walk a road with God and grow in your faith. A lot of things are going to begin to change in your life. A lot of things are going to be different in your life. Because now you serve no longer the thief, but Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides for you. Amen? Now you don't no longer serve the prince of darkness, but you serve the healer, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life for you on the cross so that you can be healed. We want to be born again because we need to be part of that kingdom. Down here on earth, we are going to face challenges, problems, obstacles that we cannot in normal ways overcome. But when God is part of your life, with his help, there is no obstacle that cannot be overcome. Amen? That is the first significant thing that has to happen in your life. You need to come to a place that you realize that you need a savior. You need to come to a place that you realize that you are separated from God. And if this condition persists till the day that you die, then if you are not with God in life, you cannot be with God in death. And there's only one other option. I hate to tell you, it's Satan and the pit of hell, which is not a bargain no matter how you look at it. Then there is something else that needs to happen. When we come to God, our citizenship does change. But there's more. I'm beginning to sound like one of those infomercials, but wait, there's more. The good news is, you know, when the advert comes on, it's like, but wait, there's more. For an extra R5, you can... This is going to cost you nothing more. But you still need to be aware of it, because if you don't apply it, you can't have it. The next thing that needs to happen in your life, when you have become born again, you need to become spirit-filled. Just being saved does not make you spirit-filled. To be saved, the Holy Spirit takes you, picks you up out of Satan's kingdom, moves you over, puts you down into God's kingdom, and there you are. There's a big difference between moving from darkness to light and moving from darkness to light and then getting filled with the Spirit. The world is full of believers. And when I say full of, I'm not trying to say the whole world is believers. Don't get me wrong. But let's say that we have, let's say, 100 billion believers, which is not inconceivable, on this planet. Let me ask you a question. How many of that 100 million believers are effective for God right now? I'm not going to guess, because I'll probably be wrong. But let's just say not that many. Ah, but Rian, how can you say that? It's easy for me to say that, because the kingdom of God is not advancing. Believers are not doing their duty. The gospel is not spreading like wildfire the way it should. Do you know that on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out, up to 3,000 people a day was added to the numbers of the disciples, and there was only 12 to start with? Hello? Today, we've got churches numbering 100 million, but we would be happy if in a year's time we can add a million to that figures. What went wrong with this picture? Where did we lose the plot? We didn't lose the plot. We lost the power. Can I tell you why? Because the power comes through Pentecost. And Pentecost is something that most believers do not experience anymore. Because we are happy enough to say to people, I am a child of God. I got saved. I'm going to go to heaven one day. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's not good enough. God did not call you to go to heaven one day only. God called you to be effective down here, and when you've done everything you can for the kingdom of God, then to go to heaven. We don't just need to be saved. We need to be saved and we need to be Spirit-filled. Why do we need to be Spirit-filled? Well, let me quickly show you what Jesus himself had to say concerning these matters. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. When Jesus spoke this to the disciples, they were already born again. What is the criteria in the New Testament to be born again? Romans 10 verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. In other words, two things need to happen in your life. If you want to become a child of God, you must, number one, confess that Jesus is your Lord. And number two, believe in your heart that he rose from the dead. When was Jesus talking to them here in the book of Acts? On the day that he was to go up into the sky. Immediately after Jesus said these words, he went up on a cloud. The disciples were looking at the cloud, and suddenly two angels stood there and said to them, what are you looking at? Oh, we're looking at Jesus. Well, stop looking there. He's leaving now. He'll come back one day in the same way. In the meantime, go do the work that God called you to do. In other words, what I'm simply trying to tell you is, they already had the opportunity to believe that he rose from the dead because he was speaking to them in his resurrection body. None of them rejected him. Remember, they saw him die on the cross. They saw them put him in the tomb. They saw the big stone being rolled there. They saw that there was nothing left of him. So each and every disciple that he spoke to that day had already made peace that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God. Now, why is this important? This is important because Jesus was simply saying to them, you are born again. Well done. Don't think you've received it all. There's more. And he makes a point to say to them, listen to this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. I want you to listen to that. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. He says to them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised. What was this gift? This gift was the outpouring of the power of God through the Holy Spirit into the lives of the disciples. Why was this power necessary? Well, I'm going to give you a bit of a think about that. This power was necessary because first and foremost, to get somebody to be born again, you have to be a part of the process of getting them from darkness into light. And you must understand something, my friend, the prince of darkness doesn't like the fact that you're going to go take somebody and help them to cross over. You know, the devil tends to look at that as a threat. In fact, sometimes he even looks at that as an act of declaration of war. Now, if you don't have power, how are you going to do that? I want to put it to you this way. If you don't have power, you can't even cross back in there to go fetch that person to bring them over. You don't have the power to do that. And look at what Jesus said. Listen to this. In verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. What does that mean? That means that one of the major functions, purposes of the power that was going to come into them was to enable them to be witnesses for Christ. And why do we witness to people? So they can get saved. You cannot get somebody saved until you have witnessed to them and they begin to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now you must take into account, once again, the people that you have to witness to are still in darkness. They're not in light. You first have to cross back into the darkness, and I'm not saying that you must go back into all your old habits. I'm just saying, spiritually speaking, your spirit has to fetch them from darkness and bring them to light. And when you go to fetch them from darkness, there's a whole bunch of demons in that person's life that don't like that idea. You can try and do it without the power, but the devil will probably wipe the floor with you. But when you do it with the power, the power of God will wipe the floor with the devil. And that makes a big difference. Amen. Getting back to the scripture. Jesus speaking, but you will receive power. After he gave them a command. And he spoke to them through a command saying, wait in the city. He then clarifies why they have to wait. He says to them, you cannot do what God called you to do until you receive the power. I want to ask you a question. How many of you love God? How many of you are excited to serve God? How many of you believe that serving God is the most exciting thing that you can ever do with your life? I know there's people out there that think we're mad, but it's because they haven't got to the place where we are right now. So don't judge us. Join us, and you will see. Now, here's the thing. You cannot be effective for God until you receive the same thing that the disciples received. You know, times have changed, but God has not. Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, if Peter needed power, so do you. Now, I can hear some clever oak in the background there going like, oh, but Rion, you don't understand. Peter cast out demons even before he experienced this. Yes, under the anointing of Jesus himself. Because he was under Christ while that happened. Let me explain something to you. When you come under somebody, the anointing in that person's life, some of it transfers into your life. But the effects are temporary. They are not lasting. If you walk a road with somebody that has a very powerful prophetic anointing, while you walk a road with that person coming under the influence of their power, you will begin to see signs, you will begin to see visions, you will start dreaming dreams, and you will begin to prophesy. Where do I find that in the Bible? Well, we look at somebody like Saul. Saul was not a prophet, but one day he was looking for a donkey, and he happened to find a bunch of prophets, and as he was walking on the road with the prophets, the Bible says he began to prophesy with the prophets. Was he anointed to be a prophet? No. But under the anointing that he started sharing with them, he prophesied as well. So it's still the same. If you come under the anointing of somebody, you begin to do what they did. Now let's look at Peter. Peter for 3 years walked with Jesus every single day. When Jesus cast out demons, Peter was there to hold on to the people to make sure that they don't get hurt. When Jesus healed the sick, Peter was there to wipe their brow and take the sweat and clean the rags and, you know, whatever happened. And Peter began to experience the power of God. Not his own power, the power of Jesus coming through him. Now the thing is, with that type of anointing, we call it the corporate anointing. With that type of anointing, when the person that is the originator of the anointing moves away, slowly but surely the anointing that is upon you moves away too. Because the anointing doesn't come from you, it comes from somebody else through you. Now Jesus knew that when he leaves, the ability that the disciples had to cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead and do all of these things was going to disappear as well. And what are they going to do then? Nothing. But then he came to give them some good news. What Jesus was saying to them indirectly, they might not have understood it then, but later they realized it. I have to go. And he warned them many times that he was going. He was saying to them, I have to go. And my power is going to go with me. But in a different way, my power can still be released through you. But you have to undergo a specific experience that will open you up to the power to come and work through you. It's called Pentecost. It's called Pentecost. It is the outpouring of the Spirit of God into the life of a believer, enabling that person to become the person that God always destined you to be. They needed it. You need it. You can't be a true child of God without it. You know, sometimes we say, no free rides. If you enter the kingdom of God, but you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like trying to take a free ride. Because you want to go to heaven, but you don't want to do nothing to get there. No. The grace of God touched your life. Do you agree with me? Now, here's the wonderful thing. The grace of God through you can now touch somebody else's life. Now, I can hear a lot of people, oh, but Riyad, you don't understand. I'm not an evangelist. I know that. God knows that too. That's why you need the power. When you receive the power, something in you changes. It's like a switch flicks. And something inside of you turns on. And you know what? You might be very, very, very surprised at some of the things that start coming out of your mouth in general conversation. In fact, you might be very surprised to find that people come and ask you questions, questions that they never asked you before. Do you know why? Because suddenly the power of God is in you. On our Tuesday night meetings, we're busy talking about the fire of God. So let me just talk about the fire of God very quickly. Jesus said here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came in what guise? Let's look. Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came in what guise? Tongues of fire. Okay. When you do not serve God, where are you? You are in darkness. Now, just think about it this way. There is a lot of people that you know that are in darkness right now. They might not know it, but you know. And you might not know that you are in darkness only until somebody brings some fire which gives light and suddenly it's like, oh wow, there's a whole new world opening up to me. Man, can you believe it? Oh, so that's how things work. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place in your life, like the disciples, the fire of God enters you and you begin to burn. We all know what happens to a moth and a flame, right? A moth cannot resist a flame. They go, they get burnt up. Unfortunately, that's just the way they are. But people are the same. There's a lot of people out there that are so lost, it's not even funny. But they don't necessarily know that they are lost. If you grew up in a house that never served God, then how do you even know about God? Yes, you hear this one and that one talk, but your father told you this is rubbish and nonsense, and you believe your father. And I can't blame you for that, because that's the way we are. We tend to believe the one that raises us. So how do you know? Your mom doesn't go to church, your dad doesn't go to church, your granny, your grandfather doesn't go to church. Everybody tells you that this is rubbish. Your great uncle told you that it's a fairy tale. That's kind of like what you believe. Why should you believe any different? The people with influence in your life all told you it's rubbish. But then there comes a day when you meet with somebody, a stranger, maybe Carlos, maybe Alberto, maybe Uncle Ed, maybe Georgie, maybe Mr. Frankie. Stranger things have happened, eh? Even Mr. Bean. You meet with somebody. And there is something about that person, you can't put your finger on it, but something attracts you to that person. You immediately feel comfortable with that person. You know, let's look at the fire again. Can you think of anything better when you are on a cold winter's night and somebody makes a nice big bonfire and you just sit there and it's like, oh. But it really happens. Because if you have the fire of God into you, you begin to attract people. And people, without realizing why, suddenly feel a kinship with you. Like they have this thing, I can trust this. I'm going to tell them my problems. That's not normal. But it happens. Because the fire in you attracts them. And they can see something in you that looks a lot better than the darkness that they are used to. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have either experienced it or you know people like that. It's a person or persons that you like to spend time with that person. You always feel better when you're with them. You always have more hope when you're with them. Life looks better when you're with them. Why? Because they've got fire. And the fire in them touches you and it makes you feel better. Something happens. Why do we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You can't be a witness for God until you have the fire of God in you. You can't go into darkness without fire, because how are you going to find your way back? Are you going to find your way back? I've shared this before. It's an interesting anecdote from my past. When I went to Felt School in Standard 8, now that's many, many, many years ago, we went to Schoemansdal. Some of you probably went there as well. And the people that ran the camp, I'm telling you what, that was like Gestapo of note. It was like, wow. They ran that camp through fear and intimidation. And the first night, we were told that, you know, because we like the scum of the earth and what, we all have to sleep outside under the stars. And we were told that we better not mess around because there will be regular checks. Now, the two guys that spoke to us were these big Buddha with these, you know, fellies and khakis and a nice cane. And they just looked very intimidating, so everybody listened. Only until they disappeared, of course. You must take into account we were 16 years old, right? So Of course, they disappear. Everybody goes and finds a tree to sleep under, and of course, nobody sleeps. Everybody starts messing with everybody. This one is putting toothpaste up that body's one's nose. That one's putting shaving cream in that one's ear. And so it went on. A couple of oaks ate dirt. You know, things happen. And now there's these two clever oaks that come up with this idea to get to the camp where we were. The administrators of this place had to come down with a bucky. There was like this sweeping road that came down the mountain. And so they said to themselves, well, if we take two torches and we space ourselves the same space as a car and we start coming down and everybody's running around making nonsense somewhere, they're going to think these oaks are coming and everybody's going to, you know, poop themselves. The plan worked, but it actually worked way too good. Because everybody's up to mischief, playing around, messing around, and we got strict orders. If they come back and we're doing this, this, and this, and this is going to happen. And suddenly somebody starts shouting, they're coming, they're coming. Of course, nobody was coming. There was these two jokers coming with their torches. But everybody started running. And you know, it's one of those cases where you don't know where you're running, you just know you got to run. Well, one guy lost a tooth that night. One guy broke an arm that night. Another guy fell into a thorn bush. They actually had to dissect him out of it. Two guys were sent home because their injuries were so severe that they couldn't stay on. And all of this because they tried to find their way in the darkness without light. Why am I telling you the story? Because we are exactly the same. Some of us are trying to find our way in life, but we are in darkness and we've got nothing to show us the way. The way to find the way is through the power of God, is through the fire of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You cannot be in a situation where it is the blind leading the blind. If you yourself are not saved and you're trying to save other people, your ministry is going to flop. And I say this respectfully, but there's a lot of ministries out there that flop. Because it is the blind leading the blind. You either have fire or you don't. There is no way to crook your way around it, you know? You can't make like you have it. You either have it or you don't. And here's the thing. People who live their whole life in darkness know the fire when they see it because it's different. They want to hang around there. They want to know more. What is it that you have? I don't have it. Now, I want to be where you are. How do we do this? You become a very effective witness when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the power of God suddenly works through you. I can take a very eloquent speaker. Doesn't matter who. Let's say somebody fairly well known, maybe some Hollywood jet setter that has the gift of the gab, and I can have them give a motivational speech, and you know, everybody's going to be all happy and all excited and what, but is it really going to change anybody's life? No, it won't. It makes you feel better for 5 or 10 minutes, and tomorrow you got the same problems. I can take somebody else that's not a very good speaker. I can take somebody that might never have spoken in front of crowds, that has an IQ that's like shocking. But when they open their mouth, the words coming out of their mouth is sprinkled with Holy Ghost fire. And whether their words are big or small, whether they are intelligent or just plain common, it immediately cuts to the heart of the person. Why? Because God works with that person. And it changes everything. There are two very important things that has to happen in your life. Number one, you got to meet Jesus. Number two, you got to meet the power of Jesus. And just because you've been in church for many years doesn't mean you got the power. This is where that song comes. I've got the power. Okay. You don't know it. In the days when I still clubbed, that was a song. I'll play it for you just now. Not now. You need the power. Okay, but Rian, how many times should I receive this power? As many times as possible. You know, the Bible makes one thing very clear, that the disciples did not just have one Pentecost experience. We know of at least two, and I want to tell you something, there was plenty. Because we live in a very, 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 very dark world. How many fires do you know that you light them today and that thing just keeps burning and burning and burning? No, you have to add to the fire to keep it going. We the same. You know, some people had a Pentecostal experience 30 years ago, and then some things happened, and according to them, everything is fine. But you look at their life now, and nothing is happening. Why? Because there's no more fire. You need some more. Amen? Amen. You need some more. Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift that is in you that you receive through the laying on of the hands of the elders. In other words, he says, the flame is going to go out. You have to make sure that it gets bigger and bigger. That's what it means when he says fan into flame. Don't come and tell me that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit 20, 30, 40 years ago and everything is fine. You probably need to experience that once a month. In fact, if you can experience that every week, it's even better. And if you've never experienced it, you better start. Because without the fire, you're going to go nowhere. Without the fire, you are not really useful in the kingdom of God. And you don't experience the power. And that's important because there is real power in the kingdom of God. Amen. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.